You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
The greatest discovery you'll ever make is to find the will of God. The greatest knowledge that you'll ever have is to know the will of God. And the greatest achievement that you'll ever have is to do the will of God. And that ought to be our life's goal, is to please Christ. The Bible said, Proverbs 29:26, many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from God. And boy, it'd be a sad state of affairs to spend your life being good at something that has no eternal value. Boy, don't you want your life to count for Jesus? Well, I like the brother, when Brother Alvin was singing, it's my desire to live for Jesus. Amen. And I tell you what, if you'll make it your desire, God will help you and he'll change your life forever. Appreciate the preaching we've heard this far. Brother Brown this morning, Brother Cooper this morning and last night, and how the Lord's helped us. Pastor Treiber, thank you for allowing me to be here. Brother Flood, the invitation's a real blessing. And man, it's our heart to see your life changed by the word of God. Not just for, this is not for the short game. We're not in this just so you'll get stirred for a service. And I hope the Lord stirs your heart while you're here. But we're asking the Lord to change your life, not just this week, but for many weeks to follow, that your life will never be the same. That if the Lord doesn't come in the next 20, 30 years, that you'll be bringing kids to youth conference, and that you'll be the leaders in your church and the mighty men and the ladies that are training children to serve Christ in days ahead. That's what we're looking for, to see what God will do for many years to come. Deuteronomy chapter number 33, if you've got your Bible open, let's stand together. You can stretch your legs. We'll read the word of God, and you do your best to listen. I'll do my best to preach quickly. And I'll try not, there's no death like being preached to death. Can I get a witness? Amen and amen. So you pray the Lord to help me, and I'll pray the Lord to help you as well. Let's just read two verses of scripture. The Bible said in verse number 24, and of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You can be seated. I turn your attention to verse number 24 in your Bible tonight. The Bible said of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. And I'm interested in the last phrase of verse number 24. The Bible said, and let him dip his foot in oil. As you walk into these verses, we understand that we are coming to the end of the life of one of the greatest characters to dawn the pages of the Word of God. Moses said in Psalm 90 and verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And Moses wrote those words after the crisis at Kadesh Barnea, where the children of God rebelled against the Lord. And he said he numbered the days of that older generation. But as we come into our text tonight, he is not numbering our days, but Moses is numbering his hours. It wasn't going to be long till he was going to walk out of the camp of Israel for the very last time. And he was going to make his climb to the top of Mount Pisgah. And the Lord was going to let him peer into Canaan land, that promised land that God had promised to give the nation of Israel. And after he saw that Moses was going to die and the Lord was going to bury him. But before those events were going to take place, Moses takes time to begin to pronounce some blessings on the tribes of the nation of Israel. He begins with the tribe of Reuben, and then he ends with the tribe of Asher. Asher. And Deuteronomy 33 finds us in the middle of Moses' blessing of the tribes of the nation of Israel. Each one of those tribes is named, and every one of those tribes are ascribed a certain blessing as Moses closes his life. You think about Genesis 49, how this happened before. In Genesis 49, the judgment seat of the Old Testament, Jacob's about to die, and he calls his sons in, the father of these 12 tribes, and he blesses them individually. Now Moses is about to die and go to heaven, and now he's going to bless these tribes collectively. But in our text tonight, I'm not interested in all the brothers, but I'm interested in Asher tonight. That word Asher, it means prosperous or happy, and his name is really an exposition of the blessings that God pronounced in Asher's life. If the Lord will help me using that text, he will dip his foot in oil. I want to preach a little while on this thought that will leave a mark. How many times as young men, you know it's a dangerous thing when a teenage boy says these words, "Watch this." It's probably not going to end well when they look at you with all the bravado they have and no brains and a lot of testosterone, and they said, "Hey, man, watch this. This is going to be great. That means, Mom, call 911. We're going to the emergency room." And I can't tell you how many times that I've heard through the years, man, when you got there and you're playing and it's a broken arm or a laceration or a scratch or a cut, and you hear these words, "Man, that's going to leave a mark." And can I tell you, our prayer should be as we come in to these services, all the money that's been invested, all of the time that's been invested, all of the treasure that's been invested, and all the preparation that's been made for these services. And I say thank God for Brother Flood and the staff here that have gone to the great lengths for you to enjoy yourself and have a good time. But at the end of the day, at the end of the week, when you say the last amen, you load your buses back up and you go back to where you came from. The question is, if what you've done here, is it going to leave a lasting impression on your heart? Are you going to leave here a better Christian? Are you going to leave here with more determination? Are you going to leave here with a desire that you didn't have, that you were going to serve God? Let's think about this little man by the name of Asher. May I say to you, first of all, where he lives tells us about the battle he fought. I mean, think about this. He said his shoes were going to be shoes of iron. Friend, that's not Nikes. That's not retros. I mean, that's not LeBron's. That's not Seth Curry's. Those are not KD's, friend. Those are not shoes to play games in. But that was the footwear of soldiers. And may I say to you, those shoes would protect these men from feet, from being on a rough terrain in the battlefield. And can I say a few things about that? You say, why would Asher, why would he need some shoes of brass and shoes of iron? Could it be because of the internal conflict that he might have to battle? Asher was the eighth son of Jacob. He was the youngest of Zilpha, which was Leah's handmaid. And may I say this? Listen, he was the unwanted son of the unwanted wife. Amen. You go back to Genesis 29 and 30. Jacob didn't want to marry Leah. He wanted to marry Rachel. The Bible said that Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was, she was beautiful and well-favored. And what did he do? He went and he labored 7 years so that he could marry Rachel. And then Laban, he got a dose of his own medicine. And Laban tricked him and gave him Leah. And then he just labored 7 more years and finally got the bride that he wanted. But Leah was not his choice. Leah was not the one he wanted to marry. And can I tell you, that probably caused some dysfunction in the family at the house. I mean, think about it. Asher was a nobody living in a house full of somebodies. And may I say, you may have come to the conference. You may be a kid that rides on the buses and you think, man, I'm not like the other kids. I don't have a mom and dad that take me to the house of God. Oh, but what about you're so special that God, when you didn't have a mom and dad that would take you, God cared so much for you that he sent somebody to knock on your door and bring you to the house of God week after week after week. And you say, man, can I really serve the Lord? Can God really do something in my life? If he can do it for Asher, he can do it for you. Amen. Asher was not the oldest son. That was Reuben. He was not the strongest son. That was Judah. He was not the youngest son. That was Benjamin. He was not the most well-loved son. That was Joseph. Amen. Asher would have lived most of his life in the shadows, learning to be content with leftovers. But my Asher might not have been voted most popular and the most likely to succeed on two separate occasions in Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33. God used these two men, Jacob and Moses, to select Asher out from some very specific blessings. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter what side of the tracks you were raised on. It doesn't matter how much money your parents have in the bank. It doesn't matter what kind of car is parked in the driveway. We've got a God who you say, well, I'm not much to work with. Good news. He made everything that is out of nothing. And if you've got a little something he can work with, he can change you, put his power in you, fill your life with grace that the preacher talked about this morning. And God can use you for his glory. Asher was a product of Rachel and Leah's competition for the love of Jacob. They didn't really love their children. I mean, it was a competition that Jacob loves me best. And they were pawns in that game. Asher, listen, he was a bondwoman's son. He wasn't even Leah's son. By birth, she was a bondwoman's son. But in the eyes of the law, even though he was born to Zilpha, in the eyes of the law, he was Leah. Just hold on, we're going somewhere. I mean, listen to me. In the eyes of the law, he was Leah's son. Can I say you and I were born into bondage? Amen. We were born under the bondage of sin. But thanks be unto God, not because of law, but because of grace. You and I got birthed into the family of God. I'm telling you, whether you were born in the preacher's family or the drunkard's home, I'm glad, thank God, he can save the ones who've never tasted liquor, who've never been in the world, or pick them out of the deepest hole that the world has to offer. Aren't you glad? Thank God that he can take wherever what you are, wherever you are, and do a miracle in your life and change you for the glory of God. I remember A.J. Gordon. He said he walked out of his church in Boston years ago. And there was a little boy outside the church that had an iron cage that just had three little birds in it. And he asked the boy, he said, what you gonna do with those birds? He said, well, I'm gonna play with them for a little while. And said, then I'm gonna take them home and feed them to my cat. I guess that was before PETA. Amen. Amen. And the preacher said, well, what would it cost to buy those birds? He said, preacher, you don't want to buy these birds. He said, they can't even sing. They're just old field birds. They're not worth anything. You don't want these birds. He said, well, what would it cost me to buy them? He said, would $2 buy them? He said, oh, yeah, $2 will buy them. He said, but you're getting a bad deal. He said, you're getting a bad deal. He said, well, here's $2. The preacher bought the birds, went on the backside of the church, and he opened that little door to the cage, and those birds went flying out. On Sunday morning, he got in the pulpit and began to share that story with his church. And he said, you know, when I opened that cage, he said, and those birds flew out. He said, I remember what that little boy said. He said, these little birds just field birds. They can't really sing very good. He said, but you know, as I cut those birds loose, he said, I could have believed as they fluttered through the air and began to sing, they were singing, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Don't you ever let the devil tell you because you didn't have the same background, that you don't have the same talents, and that you don't have the same abilities, that God cannot use you. I'm telling you, friend, if he can do it for Asher, he can do it for you. Amen. He talks about that internal conflict. You're talking about a dysfunctional home. That was a dysfunctional home. And I wish that everybody here could say, man, it's just camp meeting, jubilee, youth conference, revival all the time at my house. But that's not reality. You remember what you put up this morning? And I don't care if you do live in the preacher's home. Amen? There's internal conflict. And if you're not careful, you'll think, man, I can't do it. God's not going to use me. God's not going to be able to put his hand in my life and use me for the glory of Christ. He did for Asher, and he can do it for you. Look at your Bible in Judges 1. Not just the internal. Why did he need those iron shoes? Why did he need those iron shoes? Because of the internal conflict. Well, what about the external circumstances? Look at Judges 1, verse number 28. The Bible said it came to pass when Israel was strong, they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahal, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Aco, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Aleph, nor of Achizib, nor of Helba, nor of Aphek, nor of Rehob, but the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites. I want you to notice the difference between Zebulun and Asher. The Bible said about Zebulun that the Canaanites dwelt among them. But when you got to Asher, it said that the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites. Are you listening to me? And all the blessings that God had pronounced into the life of Asher in Genesis 49, and now in Deuteronomy chapter number 33, I mean, God, that grace that you preached on, that was not an excuse, but an enablement to do the will of God. I mean, God had pronounced those blessings in his life, but can I tell you what he never did? He never drove the Canaanites out of his life. He never drove the Canaanites out of his land. And may I say to some of us tonight, we're not struggling because the world, and we're not struggling because the devil. We are struggling because we have not taken the word of God, and we have not taken the spirit of God, and we have not taken the training of God, and we have not taken the rearing of our parents and our loved ones and our preachers and our youth pastors and our Sunday school teachers, and used the tools that God gave us to drive out the enemies. And instead of this and them dwelling among us, we're dwelling among them. And listen, that's why he needed some shoes of iron. Some of us need to trade the shoes of whining and whippiness and put some shoes on of warfare and decide by the grace of God. We used to sing that little chorus, I'll march into the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from me. May I say, young person, hit the devil has taken ground in your life, it's not because he took it, it's because you gave it to him. He has no authority in your life. We are not of our father, the devil, but we are children of God. He has no spiritual authority in our life, and if he has taken ground, it's because you gave it to him. And it's time to put some iron shoes on and some brass shoes on and say, by the grace of God, I'm taking my blessing. Listen,
I'm taking my land back. I'm taking my home back. And some of us youth pastors need to put some shoes on and say, I'm taking my youth group back. And daddy, taking your family back. I'm telling you, God help us. There were some external consequences that dictated he needed some iron shoes. We live in such an effeminate generation. If I was a dad of girls, I'd be afraid that if I gave my daughters to some of these effeminate boys, if somebody broke in the house, my girls would have to defend the house. Amen. Amen. Fellas, I don't mean you have to be a brawler, but I believe you need to man up. Get out of the soprano section and lead sing tenor. Amen. If not bass, praise God. Amen. I mean, God help us. We need some young men. It bothers me. Brother Flood, I'm not as young as I was. I'm not the old man of God. And I'm not as young as I was. But over the last 30 years, there have been a lot of youth meetings. 98% of the time, the ones who move first in our youth meetings are the young ladies. 98% of the time, 99% of the time, the first one to come to an altar is a young lady. God help us to raise a generation of young men. Hey, that neighbor, you ain't got your flip-flops on and your feminine shoes. But when you look down there, there's some rivets driven in because you got some iron shoes and not because you want to be on the street brawling, but you want to fight the good fight of faith and you want to take some ground back. God, give us some young men that'll stand up in the house of God and say, I'm not going that way. And you can't have my youth group. And you can't have my church. And we're not going contemporary. And we're not going to look like a boy band. But we're going to look like the house of God. And if you're a preacher, you ought to sound like a preacher. Not a psychological discourse. And preach the word with the authority that it's due. I mean, there's some external circumstances. Where he lives tells us about the battles he fought. What he learns in verse 24 tells us about the blessings he found. See, those first blessings, look at your Bible. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. That talks to us about how he possessed his land. God gave those tribes land. And he said, Asher, the way you're going to do that, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be fruitful with children. And should we not as much as God promised Asher this in a physical connotation, a physical blessing, he's going to have a lot of children? Should you and I not have a desire to have some spiritual children? Amen. Should you and I not have a desire? Listen, man, we hammer Calvinism from the pulpit. You know why? Because you can't get Calvinism out of your King James Bible with the verses kept in context. Oh, you can get it from them Puritan writers in the 1600s, but you can't get it from your King James. And we're King James, aren't we? But can I say to you, some of us are not doctrinally Calvinists, but we're practical Calvinists. We won't tell anybody about Jesus. We're afraid we'll get made fun of and poked fun at and rejected. Are you listening to me? Should we not want to have some children in the faith? That's what those folks have stood up here and testified. A preacher knocked on my door. I was the son of a drunk till a preacher knocked on my door and told me about Jesus. Amen. I mean, we're doing our best to knock on every door within so many miles of our church. You say, why? Because I don't want somebody pulling up in the church parking lot and say, I wouldn't have went to hell if you'd have cared about sinners. I mean, man, Asher, God gave him some blessings about how to possess his land. There was a fruitful children. There was some favored camaraderie. He said, you're going to be acceptable to your brethren. That doesn't mean compromise. And when you can't, you if we're standing for truth, everybody ain't going to like it. But man, we don't have to be ugly. Hey, we don't have to be rude and crude. We can be Christians and still stand for truth with authority and without apology. I mean, we're all, our camp thing is we're unapologetically old fashioned. Praise God. Are you listening to me? But I want to get to this point. I want to get to where it talks about this. He said, let him dip his foot in oil. Those first two blessings were blessings to encourage him. But he said, let him dip his foot in oil. That's a barrier to empower him. Now you can look at this and they talk about there's spiritual symbolism here. That oil is a picture of prosperity. That when you in Bible days, that if a man went into his home, the servants of the house would wash his feet with water. But they said if he was a wealthy man, they would take another step and wash his feet with oil. And that's a picture of prosperity, and thank God for it. It also is a picture of that Asher's land was a picture, was a place that was very fertile and suitable for the olive tree. And he would grow a bunch of olive. But we're King James men, aren't we? King James, young lady. And we're literalist. And I see no reason to trade that in now. We understand that the picture of the oil and the Word of God is a picture of the Holy Spirit. The presence, the power, and the person of the Holy Ghost. I wonder, young person, you ever dipped your feet in oil? I mean, man, if you're going to wear iron shoes, friend, these aren't Nike Air Maxes. These are not Jordans. And these are not, well, I mean, all these Hokas and Ufas and how soft they are. These are battle shoes. Friends, you can't put your bare feet in a pair of Kohans and wear them for a long time without blistering your feet with those socks. And you know why some folks are blistering and getting hard and hurting in the warfare we call the Christian life? It's because they're trying to wear iron shoes with nothing between their tender feet and those hard shoes. You got to understand those iron shoes, it speaks of hard. Metal's hard and metal's heavy. But if you're going to make it, you're going to have. But you know what it did? Y'all all right for just a minute if I take my coat off? And I know I'm more interested in you getting the thought than I am the outline. Some of us this week, you've got a desire to serve Christ. You've got a desire to battle the good fight of faith. Hey, but you know what some of us need to do? You're about to start out on your college life, your family life, your professional life. And boy, you're looking at them iron shoes and them brass shoes, and you're thinking, man, how am I gonna make it? I wonder if God has brought you to the 2024 Youth Conference at North Valley to let you get in an altar and dip your feet in some oil. The power of God. Amen. I mean, man, if you could put your feet in that oil, friend, are you listening to me? It would be the barrier between the tenderness of your spirit to the hardness of the way. And you won't have to burn out. You won't have to blister out. You won't have to get a hard spirit because there's been some difficulty along the way. But if you don't dip your feet in some oil, you're going to have blisters and your feet are going to hurt and your spirit's going to be bad. I wonder if God's brought you to this place. You could take just a little time and dip your feet. You know why some of you are here? Because somewhere in front of you, somebody dipped their feet in some oil. Can I tell you, preacher boys, you can have all your outlines right. You can have your I's dotted and your T's crossed. You can have your doctrine right. You can have your homiletics right. You can have your hermeneutics right. But if you ain't got the touch of God, you're not going to get anything done. Amen. We can deliver truth, but it takes the Spirit of God. Oh, listen, it takes the Word of God delivered under the unction of the Holy Ghost to drive truth into a man's heart. Are you listening to me? somewhere down the road, I don't know where it was, you could probably tell me. Somewhere God let you dip your feet in some oil and get the power of God in your life. Would you be in Iowa tonight? If that preaching daddy of yours somewhere hadn't have got around some men of God that whet his appetite for the power of God. We ought to have ministry. We ought to have outreach. And we ought to seek souls. But if there's nothing at the house of God when you get them there that's going to draw them to Christ, and that there's no anointing on the singing, and there's no power on your life, they'll never get to Christ. If I were to wash your feet in water, it wouldn't take long till it would dry. If you get out of the shower, get out of the bathtub, and you go traipsing through the house with your wet feet, it won't be long till that dries. But at night, if you're to put lotion or baby oil or whatever it is on your feet, your wife will say this, don't put your feet on the comforter. Don't touch the comforter. I don't want it to be spotted up. You know what the difference is? Water evaporates. Oil permeates. Are you listening? If you've ever got in the oil, you won't have to worry about somebody knowing where you've been, and you won't have to worry about somewhere knowing where you're headed, because your footprints will give away where you've been, because you've left a mark on the floor, whether it be hardwood or whether it be carpet. I wonder, is anybody following your footsteps? Have you been in enough oil? Have you got enough power in the God in your life that you've marked anywhere? Could somebody follow you to your prayer closet? Could somebody follow you to the choir loft? Could somebody follow you to the Sunday school room or the bus route or the door of your local neighbor? Would there be any footprints that would identify you that you've dipped your feet in the oil? Amen. Are you listening to me? You may be in the best school, in the best home, but the oil that he had is not going to be enough to get you through. Somewhere down the road, you're going to have to get your own feet. Because see, there's a set of iron shoes waiting on you. Brother Martinez, would you help me? Could I just give you an illustration? Brother Flood, could I have a handheld mic? I don't want to ruin this microphone. Somebody turn your Bible to Psalm 133. Let me just give this illustration now. I'll try to drive this point home. Come right here, Brother Martinez. Psalm 133. Is it verse 3? Brother Everson, is it verse 3 that talks about Aaron? Or verse 4? Verse 2? Does it say something that Aaron, that when he was anointed, that it ran down his beard to his hands? Verse 2, to the skirts of his garment? I don't know if they do it at your church, but we still do it at home and other places. If somebody gets sick in the church family, they can still call James chapter 5. They can still call the elders of the church, and we'll anoint them and pray for them. That's James 5. Now, Benny Hinn's not in James 5. And Kenneth Copeland's not in James 5. But the elders of the church praying for you is in James 5.
Amen.
Can I borrow that bottle for just a second? We had a 48-year-old deacon's wife at home. On Mother's Day, found out she had stage 4 breast cancer. And she came to, she asked the church if we'd pray for her, and in our pulpit, a little bottle of olive oil. And you know what I do? I put my finger in that oil and I just sort of put it on her head and we pray. We're not healing her, we're just praying that God's will be done. But we put a little bit on her forehead. Not charismatic, we're Bible believers.
Amen.
Where the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm not preaching heresy. But you know what? Brother Tripp, we got that Brill Cream Christianity. A little dab will do you. You know, you want enough Christianity to keep you out of hell, but you don't want enough Christianity, the power of God, to make you peculiar among your friends. Or you want enough Christianity, young lady, to change your dress enough to where ain't nobody getting on you, but you're pushing the envelope. Hello? And you want enough Christianity, young man, young lady, to make you feel, nobody look at you and say, man, they're not doing right, but when ain't nobody looking, that Brill Cream Christianity, just a little bit. But Brother Flood, that's not the anointing of the Bible. Y'all okay? I'm gonna show you what the anointing of the Bible looked like. Aaron, now hold on. If you just put a little on your forehead, please tell me how Aaron's writing, that it ran down his beard, to his hands, to the skirt of his garment. See, we're dying the death of mediocre Christianity. I mean, if you need you to go 1 mile, go 20. Are you listening to me? I mean, when you just gonna decide to run the white flag up and say, Lord, I'm all in. No reserve, I'm all in. I'm talking about when you can't find him. One of the greatest things about Columbus's journal, what he's finding America. There was times he wanted to turn back because he got lost, they got stuck, the winds weren't blowing, and man, they didn't know where they were. And you can read his journal, and there was a lot of days, it had been so many days since they'd seen land. And you know what he did? What his journal entry was? Day, whatever it was, today, we sailed on. And then when they didn't see land that day, the next day he entered in and said, today, we sailed on. And today, somebody gonna have to decide whether you can find him, whether you can feel it, whether it's youth conference, whether it's pastor school, whether it's youth camp, whether it's school revival, whether it's Bible college class. When you can't find him, you're gonna sail on. And when you can't feel him, you're gonna sail on. And when your friends like it, you're gonna sail on. And when you're standing by yourself, you're gonna sail on. This is, if Samuel, when he said, how long will thou mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? He said, fill thine horn with oil. And when David come out of the, this is what it might have been like when he anointed him with that oil that day. Oh, it wasn't just a little on his head. He poured it all over him. Until it had saturated. Are you listening?
Yeah.
I wonder, you ever gotten that kind of service? Have you ever gotten your prayer closet? You know, you can have a prayer closet as a teenage boy. You can have a prayer life. Have you ever dipped your foot in the oil? Everybody okay? I'm trying to make a point. I wonder if you've got good and saturated. You've got people. Looking, you know why there's some adults here serving the way they serve? Because somewhere you got it on you, and you invested in them, and they got it on them. Let me ask you something, young person. Who's, are you gonna get any on you so that when he's gone and I'm gone and he's gone and he's gone, listen, somewhere in Iowa, listen, when your daddy was gone, there was somewhere it had to be yours. What God had put on him, what God had let him dip his feet in, it wasn't gonna get you through and it wasn't gonna get her through. But somewhere, praise God in heaven, somewhere it got real, Brother Reavers. And I didn't want what they had. I wanted my own all. I wanted my own truth. I wanted my own power. You got any? Hey, youth pastor, you got any? What if I could look at your kids in your youth group? Would any of their shirts look like that? This ain't no playground. This is a battlefield. How about it, young ladies? Oh, this ain't a male-female thing. It's a Christian thing. See, there's a threefold relationship. I'm not a charismatic. Spirit of God's in us, Spirit of God's with us, and the Spirit of God gets on us. That's biblical. When you got saved, He come to take residence in your life. Are you listening to me? I'm just wondering, have you ever dipped your feet in it? So He could use you. Where's my young man that surrendered to preach last night right over here? Hey, son. I got them Jordan retros on, don't you? Them ain't gonna get you far in the ministry. But I tell you what you'll do. Them little feet that are in them shoes. If somewhere God let you dip some oil, dip them feet in some oil. You could change your community for the glory of God. Thank you, son. Somewhere. I don't know who it was, know what preacher it was, what saint of God it was. Somebody whet your appetite to put your feet in the oil. You know what, Asher? Not just what he learned, the blessing, but what about what he left? What he left about the children he fathered. You know what you don't find about Asher? There's no kings. There's no princes. There's no prophets. But if you go to 1 Kings 17, when Elijah leaves the brook and goes over there to the widow Zarephath's house, and there was a handful of meal in the barrel, and it didn't waste for two, they say probably stayed at the brook chair for a year, and for 2.5 years, didn't rain for space 3.5 years, for 2.5 years, there was meal in that barrel. You know where that faithful supply, you know whose land he was in? Elijah was in the land of Asher. There'll be a fresh supply. If some of us at Youth Conference 2024, if some of us would drop our pride and quit playing the game and quit trying to be the popular one and the beautiful one and the one that all the boys want to date or the boy that all the girls want to be, and you'd get your shoes off and let God dip your feet some oil. Hey, I tell you what, some people for years to come maybe dipping their hand in a meal barrel, and Monday after Tuesday after Wednesday after Thursday, that little widow went out there and put her hand in the meal barrel because she was in the land of Asher, there was a fresh supply. Amen. You can go to 1 Chronicles 7:40, and there was some, not just a fresh supply, but there was some fighting sons. 1 Chronicles 7:40, it's listing the descendants of Asher, and this Bible, what it said, they were apt to war. For 50 years, you've been taking a consistent stand. This is y'all's kids right here, Brother Nair. I wonder which one of these boys are going to get their feet in the oil and say, I'm going to take up where Pastor left off. I'm going to fight for what he fought for. I'm going to love what he loved, and I'm going to hate what he hates. And we're going to walk in the path that he walked in. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to get your feet in the oil. But I'm telling you what, if we'll get our feet in the oil, preachers and youth directors and youth workers and moms and dads, when we're gone and when we're dead and when our life is finished, there'll still be some fighting sons around. Because God let us dip our feet in the oil, and there'll be some fighting sons. One more. Go to Luke 2. You can look at it later. Luke 2, 36. You don't have to go there now, but Luke 2, 36 through 38. Amen. There's a little lady in Luke 2, widowed for 84 years, married 7, widowed for 84 years. Her name was Anna. And Mary and Joseph brought Jesus in there, and old Simeon held him up and said, "My eyes have seen the salvation." And Anna said, "Oh, yes, that's him." Anybody want to care to take a guess where she was from? The land of Asher. What about that? Wasn't no prince that came out. Wasn't no king that came out. But a little prophetess woman who was daily in the temple. And when Jesus got there, you know what? Because she was faithful in the house of God, when they finally got Jesus there after all them years, she was there. And she went over there and thanked him. Amen. We sang it yesterday. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Some of you didn't come from where our brother came from, and you ought to thank God you didn't. Some of you aren't but about a generation away from it. But see, when God was saving your parents or your grandparents, he was saving your life from all that hell that they had gone through. There's some battles you've not had to fight because God won those victories in the generations ahead of you. Are you listening to me? The Bible said that she spoke of all that redemption. She spoke of it. I wonder if some of us, I said the youth conference is not about just today. It's about the long game. And I'm not talking about some spooky myth. I'm talking about the power of God that you preached about this morning. You quoted 2 Corinthians 12:9, a glory in my infirmities, so that what? The power of Christ. See, our ministries are too explainable. The world looks at it and says, oh, that could happen here. When's the last time God did something that the world can't explain? I'm about done. Come on, Brother Galvin. D.L. Moody got saved. As far as I know, he was never ordained. Never was an educated man. Never had a Bible college degree, but he had a Bible college named after him, Moody School of Bible. They were going to have a tent meeting in Britain. Got a lot of the preachers together, go cooperate in that meeting. And they said, man, what about having Brother Moody to come preach? And this other preacher spoke up in a critical spirit and said, why do we need D.L. Moody? He's an uneducated man. Why do we need him? Does he have a monopoly on the Holy Ghost? Another preacher spoke up respectfully and said, no. Said, D.L. Moody doesn't have a monopoly on the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost has got a monopoly on him. I asked you tonight. I didn't ask you if you were saved. I didn't ask you if you were a member of the church. I'm asking you, does the Holy Ghost have a monopoly on your life? I want my life to count for Jesus. I want to leave a mark. 50 years of ministry. The last thing you want to happen is that when you're gone, it to come tumbling down. You've invested your life, strength, your wisdom, your time, your family. But I tell you what, you let about 30 or 40 of them. Amen. Decide tonight. Yeah. See, brother, from there, I'd probably say, you preach your son-in-law. You got access, some folk don't have. I believe probably if I could really look at that, pretty spiritually speaking, your white shirt might look like my white shirt. Or some of that oil's rubbed off on you. It's rubbed off on you. What about, and I'm not saying you haven't, but let me just say this. I wonder how different it might be next time you get up there and sing. What you got? Man, that's good singing. But maybe you've been there, maybe you just want to re-up. And just say, Lord, I just want to say again, I want to get my feet in the oil. See, Ephesians 5:18 says the Bible, be not drunk with wine, words in excess, but be you filled. That means be filled and be filled and be filled and be filled. You know why we've got to be filled over and over again? Because we leak. I didn't come out here to play games, Burrow. I didn't come out here to perform. But I would hope that maybe Thursday morning when some of you walk out of here, there might be some footprints. And I could not just hear the clanking of the shoes of iron and brass, but I might hear a whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
hearing that oil squish in his shoes. Because see, let me tell you something. I done been in it long enough to know now, 31 years of preaching, that the pretty outlines don't get it done. And it's going to take the power of God. And young ladies, young men, you don't have to wait till you've get married. You don't have to wait till you're a mother. You don't have to wait till you're a husband or a wife. If there's ever time to get your feet in the oil, it's right now. I wonder, give me a best friend, two best friends. Raise your hand right here. Right here, y'all come here. Y'all been best friends for a long time? How old are you? 14. You both saved? Amen. You say you shouldn't ask them that. Why not? Amen. We ask people on their doorstep. I wonder if I could look at your garments, spiritually speaking. I wonder if either of you have left a mark on your best friend because you got your feet in the oil. Is there your preacher's granddaughter? Thank you, girls. I wonder one of these days, and I hope it's a long time, I hope Jesus comes. I hope Jesus comes and this never happens. But if it does, and one day they bring, Papa, Grandpa, what do you call it? Papa. Well, that's a good name. I'm looking forward to that name. And they bring him right there. I wonder if you've ever got close enough to that oil that he's had in his life. Has gone through your mom and your dad, but it's got to you. And long after he's gone, the effects of the oil that's been on his feet is going to live on in your life. It's not enough that just he's got it. Somewhere you've got to make it yours. How about it, husbands and wives? You ever got your feet in oil? Have you left a mark on your children? Youth directors, have you left one on your children? I mean, I believe we ought to teach them right. But I believe we ought to teach them the power of the Christian life is not in checking boxes. And I'm against enough to make us all nervous. Can I get a witness? Mama said, Daddy, when we get to be against that? I said, I don't know, but today we are, praise God. Amen. But it's that grace, that Spirit of God that brings that grace alive in our life. And young person, if all you're doing is checking boxes, it's going to be an empty Christian life.
Yep.
And if all you're doing is checking boxes, sooner or later, somebody's going to change the list on you. But if you ever get your feet in the oil, oh, don't get me wrong. I know everybody ain't going to do that tonight. There might be a few that share us alone. This might be an invitation for us adults to get our feet in the oil again and say, Lord, by the grace of God, I want my feet to leave. There's stains. Years ago when I was officiating high school basketball and refereeing high school basketball, umpiring college and high school baseball, my heels would crack. I'd get sweat so bad my heels would crack. And I would soak my feet in baby oil to keep my skin soft. And sometimes I didn't always get my feet white real good. And we've got light colored carpet. And with my wife being 5'2", and me being 6'6", you can tell that it's my foot and not hers. And I can't blame it on her. But that was 15 years ago. But the stains are still in the carpet. I wonder when we're gone. I wonder if when you're out of the youth group and in the young adults class or young couples class, you gonna leave any oily footprints in the youth department?
Yeah.
That would challenge the next group to live in. Oh, I know I'm not screaming right now. My veins are not stuck out my neck, but I'm still preaching. What about if just four or five in each group, dip his foot in the oil. Just four or five in each group got real serious and said, Lord, I'm going to fight for the right. Y'all sang it, fight for the right. That's why you need some iron shoes if you're going to fight. I wonder who wants to get their feet in the oil. So that when look at that water's done dried up. But if I'd have poured olive oil on him, he would never get it out of that shirt. You know what? If you ever get your feet in the oil, that's going to leave a mark. Have you ever left a mark? Do you want to leave a mark? Did you hear what our brother said testifying? He said, I love this church. I love the sheep. He said, I got out of that thing because of the word of God and the shepherding. Did you hear that? The shepherding of that man. You know what happened? My brother somewhere, he made a mark in your life. Ms. Trevor, the man that stood here last night and testified. Preacher said that they spent a lot of time in Ms. Trevor. The reason he would have stood here, I'd say somewhere along the way, you got your feet in the hole. And you made a difference in his life. You made a mark. I'm asking you tonight, you ever got your feet in the hole? You ever left a mark? It'd be a good night to come.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.